have a question, comment, or tip, call the Webcomics Weekly hotline at 214-717-5487. We might play your message on the show.
That used to always, he was a waiter, and it would always come out, and he'd go, 13 root beer floats, wow! And then he'd fall down the steps.
That was more Sesame Street.
I don't remember.
Was it Sesame Street?
That was Sesame
It was
Street.
Always a Muppet, and he would always come out.
He'd start at the top of the stairs.
He'd always come out on the staircase, and he'd have like a platter of just filled with the most breakable food items. And he'd come out, and he'd be like, 13 root beer floats, wow! And then he'd fall and crash.
That sounds like something I would have died at. Why
24
didn't I remember
Fabergé
it?
Eggs, ow!
Oh, yes.
Webcomics Weekly.
Hey-o.
We've started recording, because if we don't start...
It'll
never happen. I just have to start.
We'll just enjoy each other's company.
We're just having fun. I've got Coco here.
With us this evening... our normal band of rascals, hailing from the dirt, grime-filled streets of bullet-ridden Philadelphia, Brad would kill you in his sleep. Just look at you, Geiger.
It works for me, and it'll work for you.
Hey, there it is.
Not coincidentally, his book is named Evil Inc. You can find it at evil-comic.com. And then I think he's in, like, L.A. or something. Someplace almost burnt down.
Lamb.
Yeah, that's, I would totally say L.A. is a good way to describe Los Angeles. Now. Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Los Angeles.
Sure.
Can't talk much tonight because he's on a podcast strike.
that's right.
Dave Kellett.
Brad, with your permission, I'm going to try this one out for size. I don't know a man, woman, or child that doesn't enjoy a tasty, buttery snack.
That's very good. Very good indeed.
That felt good. That was like a comfortable pair of slacks. I'm keeping that one.
That sounded like the announcer who was keeping the secret from the contestants. He's telling the audience.
What Chris Drop doesn't know is that that itch is actually a terrible disease.
I knew it weren't Denerex that was tingling.
I love that it weren't. I knew it weren't Denerex that was itching my private.
Dave, can we still find your comic at SheldonComics.com?
You can, yes.
Excellent. Sitting across from me, wearing apparently the tablecloth for a picnic table and a tie.
I'm going on a date with a lunch table later.
Christopher Straub.
Hey, you said my name.
Starslipcrisis.com or starslip.com.
Oh, and across from me is the most potent man in the universe. He will stride a galaxy. Well, it's Scott Kurtz.
It buttery snacked for me. It'll buttery snack for you.
The compound.
That work.
And his work is at pvponline.com.
The new pvponline.com.
Yes. Markedly redesigned.
Beautiful redesign.
Thank you. I had everybody's help on it here.
You had America's help.
So, what's new? What are we talking about today? We have any
exciting stuff.
Topics, or is it all mailbag?
We've got one topic that's generic and one from the mailbag, whichever one you want to start with.
Wait, weren't there some, I think I remember the mention of mailbag instructions at the interim.
Were we mailbagging?
We were supposed to give people instructions.
Oh, yeah, Brad had a thought, and I think it's worth following up. Brad, did you want to chat about doing critiques of webcomics and that sort of thing?
Yeah. We've been getting a couple of requests for doing critiques on different people's webcomics, and we want to say, as much as we'd love to do that, that's not really the thrust of where we're going with this podcast. So we are write us asking us to critique your webcomic. Instead, listen to the podcast. You'll find out everything we think about webcomics and then apply that to your work. If we started doing critiques on everybody's webcomics, it would fall apart real quick.
Brad's being nice. We don't want to look at your stupid webcomic.
Well, I was going to say, what I liked is that we all knew that that was coming, but we're like, Brad, would you like to say it so you sound like a curmudgeon, please? Could you?
And he lived up to the task, let me tell you.
Hey,
could you be the bad guy?
Brad? I was our resident curmudgeon last week. I think it's time for Brad to take that mantle back.
I'll take back the mantle of the curmudgeon, happily.
Do we want to give out our new phone number for the listeners?
Yeah, we got something really exciting to announce, don't we, Scott?
We do. It's the, what are we going to call it? The awesome Webcomics Weekly Hotline.
Yeah.
And it has to make a sizzle sound.
No, you know what we need? We need one of those, like, late-night dedication hotlines, like, all right, this is coming out from Janine. She says, Greg, she's sorry she slept with your brother. But oh, she's sending out all her love.
When you said, like, late-night phone line, I thought you were meaning something like this. Would you like to meet hot, sexy cartoonists in your area?
Yeah,
call
exactly.
Now.
We're waiting for your call.
They're waiting for
Dave.
Your thoughts on
My
Punchline.
My name's Malachi. I had a friend that started a webcomic, and it went nowhere fast. He had maybe 20 viewers, and one of them was his mom. And he just kept going for years. The best part was the cartoon characters he was drawing, he made them up when he was 10, so he couldn't let them go. Dave, will you play Asia's...
Will you play Incense and Peppermints?
So this is a long-distance dedication going out to No Shoes for Tuesday. Keep drawing them cats.
This is Casey Kasem. Tonight on Webcomics Weekly, I just turned into Peter Falk. I'm okay.
I know, that was terrible. Excuse me. Casey,
that was horrible.
Excuse me.
Where'd you get those shoes? Those are beautiful.
Just one more thing, ma'am. Okay, Scott, dig me out of this hole. Talk about the phone quick.
We have a new hotline, a new, I don't know what we're calling it. It's a voicemail. Let's call it the message line.
The love line.
Webcomics
Weekly Space
line.
Space line. Call Space line.
Basically call 214-717-5487, and you can leave us a message. It can be a question. It can be a tip. It can be a compliment. Your message might be played on a future show. Again, 214-717-5487. And if you missed it,
and guys, with the-
just back up your podcast and play it again. And I'll post it on all of our podcast pages.
Okay.
And with the thought that we might use your message on the show, try to keep them short and sweet. And go ahead and plug your URL very briefly. But try to keep them short and sweet, probably under 30 seconds if you can.
Also,
please
we
don't curse.
We own any ideas that are presented.
Much like Facebook, we own everything you say.
Webcomics in perpetuity.
Right.
All right, well, let's hit to our first question.
All right, this one starts out, hiya, guys. I don't know if this has been asked before in your podcast, but I'd really like to know. When you first started, did you already have a solid idea of what your comic was going to be about and what direction did it take, or did you develop the story and characters as you made the strips? Thanks for your time. Caroline, she's at drawrightplay.com, and those are two W's right next to each other. Draw, write with a W-R-I-T-E, and play, P-L-A-Y.com.
Huh, that's
the name of her strip?
That's a good question.
Draw, write, play. I that's what it says here, yeah.
Well, next question.
But that is a good question. So Chris, go ahead. You were the most enthused about that one. Jump right in.
Well, next question.
Wait, what was the question again? No, I think everybody has to have an idea of what they're going to do before they start doing it. But that doesn't mean that it's the strip that you'll be doing in 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years. It's going to change. It's going to evolve. I don't know how you could make a webcomic where you're just like, I'm going to just jump in. I'm going to update 3 days a week, and I have no idea what's going in it.
Well, you know, PvP started out practically on a dare. So I had been doing comic strips about the video game Ultima Online and what we were doing in it, and someone saw it and said, I really like your strips. Can you do something about video games that I can put on my website? And I made it up over a weekend. I adapted a comic about elementary school teachers I had been working on for the syndicates. And it wasn't anything like PvP is now, which is why if you go to my website, there's no convenient first button on the main page because I hate them. I hate those first strips. But I had no idea what it was when I started. But I think that's a good thing because I think a lot of people do what I did back when I was trying to make packages for the syndicates, is you try to draw the first 20 strips that are the strip you'll have in 5 years, and it can't be, and then you never finish it. It's never perfect.
You just keep throwing it away. Right.
You've got to allow your first strips to be bad and move on.
But is it? But like you, when you started PvP, it's not that you didn't have any idea of what it was. It's just that you had an idea of what it was that it evolved into something else, probably relatively quickly, right? You were like, I'll tell jokes about games and I'll.
Well, they said they wanted a strip about video games,
right?
And I said that sounds pretty boring. I'm going to run out of ideas fast. Can it be about the people who play them? That way, I can talk about movies and pop culture. And he goes, yeah, that's fine.
Right.
But all I did was say, all right, this guy is into 80s games, and this guy is into role-playing games, and this guy's into sports games, and this guy's into simulator games, and the kid's the Twitch gamer, and now I've covered all games.
Right.
I didn't have personalities or the way they'd play off each other or any of that worked out.
Wow, weird.
No, I didn't have any of it. It was just he wanted video games, and here's the vehicle I'll use to get to it.
But sometimes, though, like even you just defining, like, this guy's the sports gamer, this guy's the Twitch gamer, like that sometimes is enough to start building a character.
That's true. It's not like Francis was going to be the intellectual.
Yeah, he wasn't going to be the – well, yeah, you're right.
I mean, I think
– yes. How many times in our strips have we introduced a character who's so one note and either we love him or her or the audience loves him or her and we're like, you know what? I'm expanding that character from one note. But that one note was enough of a launch pad to get him going, you know?
Oh,
I'd like to introduce you all to my friend Scratch Fury, Destroyer of Worlds.
Well, you know, I think there's a tendency to overthink the strip when you're starting out. Like what you guys are saying, you know, you try to go 100 strips down the line, and really what you've got to do is get this week done and get next week done. But one thing that I found really useful is to set up a universe or set up some kind of framework in your universe that you can drop back to and find kind of like a root source. For my strip, it's always been the whole idea of taking the villain's perspective and also the whole idea of corporate evil. And whenever I feel like I need to fall back a little bit and find my center in the strip, what I simply do is find like the villain's perspective on XYZ. And I can always ground myself again and then go off from that perspective. Like, for example, a couple of weeks ago, it was a playoff on United Way, which was Divided Way. And it was what would happen if supervillains ran a charity organization. And I got a good, you know, kind of grounding series of strips out of that. And then I was able to launch again.
They just go around beating the crap out of orphans?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's like a month's worth right there.
This is why whenever I talk to people that are considering submitting to Zuda or Platinum and they give me the typical line of, well, I'm not giving them my good idea. I'm not giving them my baby. I'm giving them a throwaway idea. No, there is no such thing as a throwaway idea because whatever you start on when you first begin it, it's going to be crap. It has to develop through time. So any idea that you develop and put any amount of time or work into is going to become something. So all of your good ideas, all your babies, start out as throwaway ideas.
Well, yeah, and I mean, we covered a little bit of this on an earlier podcast, but there's no such thing as a bad idea. It's just bad execution of an idea. That's right. Why I always kind of warn against getting involved with somebody who wants to team up with you, and he says, and I'll be the idea man. Well, you know, ideas are a dime a dozen. Ideas are I'll have 12 more ideas before I go to bed tonight, you know.
Right.
What really counts is what really counts is executing those ideas. And there's no way of telling what a good idea or a bad idea is. It's all in how you do it.
Hold on.
Exactly.
Three ideas. I don't even want them.
But there's there's some comfort too, and I think we I can't follow up on that. Never mind.
They're coming.
All right, easy champ. I immediately cue the Charlie Brown Christmas album, and then we're out. I'm like, all right, we're done. It was no, another great episode of Webcomics Weekly.
It's like that week that Chris was like, I never have any self-doubt. I knew from day one that I was born a golden child and that anything I drew
it's
was
going to happen.
Immediately cure cancer. And,
exactly.
And then Brad's like, ideas are a dime a dozen, son. I crap bigger than you for what?
For breakfast.
Ideas.
For
breakfast. I've thrown out more good ideas than you'll ever have.
You see this pinky?
That's a great idea.
That's a great idea right there.
This pinky just wrote Love's Labor's Lost Part 2.
You see this pinky here? That's a script. Pinky Magoo and the Fingernails. Copyright Geiger.
I know you can't use it.
Don't take it. I already copyrighted it.
And then he just turns and he goes, you see this pinky right here? That's an idea. Then he turns and hits a button. He goes, Mabel, Pinky Magoo and the Fingernails. Get the trademark.
and then she immediately runs in and she has a finished book in her hand.
Yeah,
there we go. It's done.
And she's dressed like a 1940s newspaper right. girl she chewing gum. Like, all right, Mr. Wigwam, here's your book.
I didn't have time to do anything beyond just a Campbellian expert. That's fine. And then Brad just takes the book and throws it in the little Lincoln stove, and it just goes.
And then he turns back to the kid. So what can I do for you?
Anyway, kid.
I have an idea about for two guys. Nope, it'll never work.
Or even worse, the kid's like, I have an idea for two guys. He's like, look at that bookshelf. That's an entirely 19 different strips I've developed about two guys. It's been done, kid. What are you, in college? Is the strip going to be about college? I've been there, kid.
The kid goes, it's about toes.
Before we dismiss it too much, though, like carry yourself back to the first times you try to think through, even Scott, like your submissions, though. I can remember there's a bit of a terror in trying to forecast, like, can I do this for 100 strips? Can I do this for 500 strips? Can I do this for 10?
That's what kept me from doing anything was I kept thinking, oh, what if I come up with a premise that is not going to carry me through and I'm going to be 200 strips down the line with nothing and kicking myself that I decided on it in the first place.
I worry about that, too, still. But
I don't worry about it anymore. Well, that's why I think that's the comfort of doing it for a couple of years, though, is
that's
that you know,
because
and we also know, and this I think goes into that question, is that I also know that if I dry up on my traditional Sheldon ideas, I just go down a different path. You know,
right?
I introduce a new character or I introduce a new theme that I've never done before, and your world becomes wider and you have more material
to
work with.
No, Chris, you were going to say something.
Well, what I was saying was that kind of tied back into me going, I'm the man. I can do anything I want. But the thing was that...
Am I the only one here with self-doubt? Dave's like,
well,
I don't
know. Maybe you get another belt of it up around 8 or 9 years of doing it. But right now it's like, oh, I've got no ideas. What am I going to do? But I always pull one out before midnight.
Yeah.
So now I'm not worried about... I'll always come up with something.
I know I'll always come up with something. But you've never just sat down and gone, no, I've done that before. No. Well, how am I going to... Well,
you,
I guess that was
I
it.
I tell you what, I did
I
it.
I guess I'm done.
I did that with Checkerboard Nightmare, and that's because it was all, like, reference and, like, look at this movie. It's
what was
bad.
Yesterday's strip about? Hamburgers. That was it. That was the one.
The last
hamburgers
one.
Hamburgers is it.
I always wondered what my
hamburgers.
Last strip would be about, and here it's...
I always knew it would end on hamburgers.
the old gypsy woman was right.
Not here. Not now.
Yeah, I flashed
like
back
this.
2 years ago.
Not this way.
When I drove my car over some gypsy woman's husband, and I went, "Ooh, feats don't fail me now," and she went, "Hamburgers."
Well, I read the book. Don't worry, I get it.
But I have to say though, like, can I talk about this from a different angle though? Is that aside from when you're starting your first strip, an interesting contrast that I have rarely seen as a cartoonist is when Chris started Starslip and when Brad started Evil Inc. They had both been cartooning for years and producing on a regular basis, and it was the first time that I had ever seen someone think through so many permutations of a strip. Like, you guys really had those suckers nailed down when you started them, don't you think?
Oh yeah.
Go ahead. No,
Evil Inc. was something that I had been culminating for, the last year, year and a half of doing Greystone Inn. So it was something that I had a really well-formed idea in my head of what I wanted to do with it by the time I started.
Right.
Which was nice. You know, I certainly didn't have that with Greystone Inn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's actually why I'm, because I worked through a bunch of different iterations for Star Slip, and I elicited opinions from people, and that's why I'm surprised to hear that Scott just kind of jumped into it. And
why?
And well, because I know you've kind of got the archetypes built out. Like I'll have a teenager, and I'll have the lazy guy, and I'll have the sarcastic guy. But I would have had to think of it beyond that. I would have worried that wouldn't have been enough. You know,
He was paying me $500 a month to draw it, and I didn't think it was going to last more than 4 months, so I was fine.
That's and you know what? Though? Maybe there's a lesson there of like just diving in, like Scott was saying.
Yeah,
it's true. You're like, well, either whether or not it's it gels, I'm still getting paid.
Well, I don't understand why there's such a I'm trying to think of the right word, not finality to it, but why it's so do or die.
Because when you're first starting out, it feels like do or die. You're like, if I draw these 30 strips, what a waste of time if they didn't turn out to be the strip I wanted to do. Because that's how it feels when you're first starting out. I remember that feeling.
Yeah.
Like now I feel like 30 strips that didn't go somewhere on a second strip would be a good investment. You know, it's like, well, it didn't work out, but at least I tried it.
Maybe I'm just because I'm too old, and I've been through almost 10 years of doing it. But now I'm looking back, but I can't remember how when I started I wouldn't have been that way. But it's like, I'm thinking about it now, and it's like, so what? Just go for it. At least you're drawing comics. If it lasts for 4 months, you take what you learn from that and create the next one.
Right.
You don't get just one shot. You don't get just one webcomic.
That's
true. And then it's like, well, No Pants for Tuesday didn't work. I'm coming out with a new strip. It's actually better, you know, and it's called No Shoes for Wednesday. And they're like, what? Who is this, the guy with the cat? No way. I'm not trying this new one.
You know what, though? But you end up probably ending up feeling faithful to an idea where you're like, oh man, Star Slip is going to be the one to make me, so I better do it right because I don't want to have to give up on it 40 strips in and go, I think that was the best idea I'll ever have. What am I going to do now?
Well, we all know a few cartoonists who are like that, though, who can't walk away from an idea once they committed to it. And you're like, dude, I know you have a better idea inside you. And they're like, nope, drawing this one till I die. And I'm like, well, you know, maybe you want it. Nope,
yeah,
drawing it till I die.
It to me as being people that can't divorce themselves from their characters because they have, like, real relationships with their characters.
I used to feel that way about stuff I did before webcomics where I'm like, I'll never draw anything but this. But,
yeah.
You know.
I, to this day, remember telling my mom, showing her a comic strip when I was a kid. We were watching TV, and there was a news article about a young kid that was 15, and he had written a book about Star Wars trivia, and it got published. And I ran, and I said, I've got to come up with a comic strip now because there's a 15-year-old kid, and he's already got a real book. And so I felt panicked, like, oh, no, I'm supposed
behind.
To this
is when
accomplish
you do
this
it.
Already.
Yeah.
And so I was showing her. I had, like, 5 ideas. And she's like, sweetie, all these ideas are about animals. All your strips are about animals. What about if you did a strip about people? And I went, no, what? I will never do a strip about people. The strips are Garfield and Snoopy. I don't care about Blondie. People? Old woman, get out. Go back to laundry.
Well, I know. As a fun little wrinkle, though, for listeners at home, that strip turned out to be Heathcliff. So congratulations.
Well, I know I felt that's probably the reason I did Greystone Inn for 5 years, because I knew at the end that, you know, it wasn't working the way I wanted it to in terms of how the readers were relating to it. But I was too stubborn to say no. So I took that strip for probably a year longer than I might have should have, if you would.
Right.
You know, and it finally really took a lot for me to divorce myself from that strip and start Evil Incorporated, which had an immediate skyrocket over the numbers that Greystone Inn was doing.
Did it really?
Yeah.
It was immediately night and day.
Yeah.
I think within the first couple of months, I had it was a marked improvement.
But that might have been
what that tells you, though, is that all those readers knew and loved Brad as a cartoonist, but that particular work hadn't resonated with them, but Evil Inc. had. So,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not the fault of the cartoonist. Sometimes it's just the idea that you're working with.
Well, it was so hard to explain to people what Greystone was supposed to be, and it's so easy to explain to people what Evil Incorporated is.
Yeah,
you
and
know?
Sometimes that elevator pitch can be so important. You know, like,
oh,
can someone grab the concept in 30 seconds or less?
Boy, you guys are making me jealous.
But, you know, go ahead, Scott.
You guys, because it feels like I can't do anything but PvP. When I branch out and try new things like Truth, Justice, and the American Way, everyone's kind of like, You know, here's my Captain Amazing book from, well, it is from 10 years ago, but everyone's kind of like, eh, I want PvP. What's next with Skull? Has he farted again? What's the cat doing?
Well, I like how you got very specific. What is the cat You're doing?
I enjoyed the man with the ponytail. How is he?
They have all the they have the minutia of the characters right, but the name wrong. God, I love how Brett always loves Macintosh, and I hope that he finally learns to.
Right, and like I was so touched with that imaginary daughter strip. I really hope that Brad and
I really hope that Brad
Jane
and Jane make it.
Brad and Jane.
But it also is a nice kind of humbling moment for us as cartoonists. Oh, I'm touching lives, and they're like, oh, I love Shelbo. That's a great strip. And you're like, ah, oh, God, come on.
Shelbo.
Oh, I got that all the time with Argus. People would say, oh, I love that gargoyle. I love the gargoyle, Angus. And I just kind of said,
Angus.
I used to go to Shelbo restaurants when I was a kid. The little kid with the tiger, Shelbo.
But, you know, here's another solution, though. If you're find yourself like Brad or like myself, where you're not happy with how your strip is feeling, like Brad started a new strip, and what I did with Sheldon is when I found myself not particularly happy with doing certain types of jokes anymore, I essentially changed the strip over the course of 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And you can do that slowly, and you know, provided you do it in a way that you're comfortable with and enjoying, people will come along with the ride. Like if you look at Sheldon in the first 2 years, it's a very different strip than it is now. And I rarely go to Sheldon soft offices or talk about Sheldon being a billionaire anymore. And there's much more about
characters. I actually think that's a shame. That is a big shame.
Yeah,
I think you could do a lot with it.
Well, I still dip my toe back into those waters every once in a while, but I wrote 2 or 3 years of that material, and I just found that I got tired of it. So I, you know, to keep my own mind interested in it,
Plus, didn't the .com crash? Did he ever go through?
Yeah, he did. He lost his billions a few times, but but I'm just saying, like you can still keep, like if you look at Bloom County, he totally changed the strip after the first 2 years. If you look at Doonesbury, he totally changed the strip after the first 5 years. You look at Gasoline Alley or some of the old Andy Capps. Well, not Andy Capp, but look at Gasoline Alley or you look at some of the old classic strips. They totally changed it. I mean, what's another really big one that changed? What was the guy with the schmoo and all that?
Andy Capp.
Yeah.
Yeah, he changed that puppy 19 different ways to Sunday over a course of 20 years, you know?
Marmaduke used to be a detective story.
So tune in to StarSlipCrisis.com 10 years from now when it's all about lesbian fiction.
I'm dealing with the issues.
I like for better or for worse better. No, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that joke. I want to rewind. Zip-a-doop. I like Kathy better when it was about Holocaust survivors.
It's very true.
Wow.
Yikes.
That was dark,
Woo!
Scott.
Whoa.
Yikes. No Brad in the background dying on that one?
let's rewind again.
Let's rewind again. Hey, you know what? I'll help you out here, Scott. You know, as long as we're talking about starting the strip, what's some advice on starting that very first strip? Or some things to do, some things not to do.
Oh, man, I know Chris has some thoughts
on
this.
Your very, very first comic strip or your first
the first strip in the series. Your very first comic strip in the series of strips you're going to do.
I say break the fourth wall right out of the gate.
No. I will murder you before you were born.
Hold on, let me look at the camera right now as you say that. He doesn't really mean it, guys. Up, fourth wall broken.
This is ruined. End the podcast. No, do not end the fourth. Do not break the fourth wall. You
I'm
are
really
wasting your time.
I'm surprised to hear such real strong opinion about this from you. I've never given it any thought whatsoever. Is it really a problem?
Because
were you molested by someone who
I was molested by the
wall?
Third and second walls.
The third and fourth walls. Oh God.
I was the door. So.
That laugh for Brad, that one didn't even make sense.
No,
I love it.
It's just like a grenade going off for no good reason in the background. So, guys, I got myself that Subway sandwich and I.
You sounded like one of those pinwheels with the fireworks on the end of them.
I just love the way you just inserted that. David said something about the third, fourth, all of a sudden you just said, yeah, I was the door.
I was the door.
And then Brad becomes one of those party spinners of laughter.
From now on, whenever Brad laughs, I'm making the spinning firework pinwheel noise.
No, but
pop.
Breaking the fourth wall is such a it's such an overused and lazy piece of it's such a lazy method, a device. That, especially in the early stages of a strip, a lot of times I can't tell you how many webcomics I've immediately stopped reading that began with it's four guys, they're all friends, and they're sitting around, and they're like, "Hey, I'm bored. What do we do? I don't know. Maybe let's make a webcomic." This is a webcomic, huh? And then the rest of the week is devoted to maybe we could put a big blue troll in the comic. No, somebody's already doing that. Uh-oh, cease and desist letter. And then they just do it over and over again.
Yeah,
it's like as if we don't know all of this stuff, and you have essentially blown your first week or two on jokes that I've read a million times.
Start out strong. I say first strip, kill a character. All comic strips should start at a funeral.
Yeah, the strip, it's like Albie by Chris Straub. He dies in the first strip. The rest of the strip is them mourning him.
Well, you know, it worked for 6 feet Under.
That's right.
You remember that?
Yeah.
They killed him The one name actor gets killed within the first like 5 minutes of the series.
Desperate Housewife does that too. The narrator is the character that the first episode is all them.
Don't actually do that though.
See, you guys are laughing, but there's four Hollywood producers counting their cash in their Hollywood Hills home right now about that technique.
Right.
Susan, get me the trademark office on the phone. What was it? Pinky Magoo, dead first strip.
Dead first strip. Also, Sue Web Comics Weekly.
Well, my name's not Brad Geiger. Brad Geiger.
Brad Geiger. By the way, I really enjoyed doing the Midwest Brad Geiger, so that's coming back at some point.
Good man.
Thank God.
So what can we say that people should do for their first couple strips?
I think you have to understand that there's no character investment in your first couple strips, so you got to have really strong standalone gags, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
But make sure those standalone gags are character building, but they've got to be – because no one cares about your characters for the first probably 50 to 100 strips, I would think.
No, I think it's nearer than that. You might be able to develop something within 25, 30.
Aren't we assuming that we're not going to put up a website unless we have at least 3 weeks of strips anyway? So you can really think in the terms of the first story arc or the first 15 strips.
That is true.
Yeah.
Bitty body boom, Scott Kurtz.
Yeah.
I mean
– honestly, my advice is – start it like it's the third year. Do not take Dave's idea of starting your strip mid conversation.
Yeah.
And for one strip and apply it to your comic.
That's cool.
Oh, that is a good idea.
I tell you, man, every time we go see a superhero movie, we always come out of it saying the same thing. I know how Batman came to be Batman. They didn't need to waste a whole movie introducing how he became Batman. I've already seen it 3 times. Can we just start it with him kicking butt?
No, you can't.
You know, but no, you can't, because there might be, the studio says there might be people that don't know his origin. So, but with your webcomic, you know, you're gonna want to bring new readers in all the time. So you have to assume that day strip is somebody's first strip.
Yeah,
so
this
just
is a long haul. Yeah.
If you want to introduce the characters and how they got to be it, do it on a new reader page.
Or do it later.
Yeah.
Do it a storyline like four stories in.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Or sometimes don't do it at all. Like, I've never explained where Sheldon's parents went or how they're dead or why they're dead and that sort of thing. And sometimes that's worthwhile to never explore, you know?
Why we never know what Max did to make Cole hate him.
That's true.
Yep.
Some things are best left unsaid.
It's like that Hitchcock technique of not showing something key, you know?
Some things are best left unsaid. Webcomics Weekly Hotline, 214-717-4487. Give us a call. Leave us a tip. What do you think about this? Let us know.
This is Jub-Jub sending out all his love to Lucinda. He's sorry he ran over your cat. Jub Jub sounds like it's somebody's gopher. How did I get that name?
Jub Jub. You know, the cast page or the new reader page is something that Scott just mentioned, and that just came up on the Webcomics Weekly forums, and I was surprised at how many people are down on the cast page, new readers page idea.
Why?
How many people are saying they don't – the comments I was reading was like, well, I don't think we really need them, you know, geez, you know, I don't think I want to do that. And I'm like, you know, that's a crucial part of your website is introducing your characters and giving backstory or additional information to your strip. I think the cast page or the new reader page is next to your home site is the most important page on your site.
I don't know why there would be such an outcry against them. It's not like it takes a lot of effort to draw up five paragraphs about
it's the same reason that Tyler Martin and I were trying to re-examine the idea of an archive page, because it's been 10 years now that webcomics have been around. And everybody's sick of them. Everybody's sick of the idea of going to somebody's website and hitting on the about and reading a whole paragraph that describes what the characters are about. I don't want to do it. I would rather they say, this is Bob. Bob is one sentence. Here are Bob's strips. These are the strips that...
Like three adjectives.
Yes. Like, Cole is the editor-in-chief, and he's always the one that has to be the grown-up. Here's Cole's important story arcs. Boom. Because, I mean, if you are into webcomics, you're reading.
That's true.
You've read a ton of them.
Tom is a little crazy. He's got a couple of crazy schemes that get everybody into trouble.
He likes spaghetti, but not spaghettini. likes angel hair, but doesn't like Capolino. You know,
this guy's nuts.
Well, I don't care how you do it, but I think you got to have that page in some permutation on your site.
Yeah,
I don't care if you come up with a completely new way of doing it, but man, that's an important part of the webcomic.
I challenge you, Brad. I don't think you need it.
Seriously.
Honestly, I don't think you need it.
No, you know what? I'm going to go with Brad on this one, and I'll tell you why. Scott, you've been reading webcomics for 10 years. Is there still a microcosm of the general population that's been reading webcomics? And we have not yet begun on the tip of an iceberg to get that newspaper audience that once read strips there. And
yeah, you're right. Those newspaper audiences are lost without their cast pages when they crack open that funny page.
No, but think about it, though.
The newspaper strip is written completely different, and that's why newspaper strips are failing. They're written in such a way.
No.
Yes. Brad. Yes. Yes.
That is
yes.
Not why newspaper strips are failing.
Sure. Sure.
No, it's not. People aren't going, this strip made me laugh, but who are the characters? I can't invest in this fart joke.
No, but you know what, Scott? Here's the key difference that you're forgetting, though, is that whether you want to read it or not, Andy Cap is going to be on your frickin' newspaper page every day. And over the years, you will slowly come to realize what those characters are. But I am not going to come back to a webcomic that I didn't enjoy the first time. And Brad is right. You need a new character introduction on your
page. I see what you're saying. They're a captive audience. They have to read it because it's there no matter
what. Yeah, because you're given 30 strips, and if you've got 30 minutes every morning to read a strip, slowly over time, even though you don't like reading for better or for worse, you're going to read for better or for worse and realize that somebody's a dentist.
Guys, did anything happen in Andy Cap?
Well, he goes down to the pub for chips. I know that.
He's a wife abuser. Let's be honest.
Right. It's not really a good
snooker
comparison.
But that's my point, Chris. That's my point.
It's
that whole thing that keeps the level of writing so far down because they can't do any character development in
a lot. Exactly. Yes, Brad has it on the dot. I'm with Brad on
that. If you allow yourself that cast page, you can do a whole lot more character development.
You guys are talking like the cast page is Marcellus Wallace's briefcase where you open it up and there's the glow hits your face and you're like,
the cast page is a symptom of being able to tell that kind of story, though. Andy Cap won't have a cast page because, like, he's a drunk and his wife doesn't like him. And that's all he will ever do or be. And I'm tired of his jokes.
It's not that guy's briefcase.
He doesn't have a cast page. It's because he's fallen into a rut. He doesn't have to maybe necessarily do anything but that.
No, and what I'm saying is maybe this is different than Brad, is the mechanics of coming to know the strip are different on the web than they are in a newspaper.
Mm. And here's what I'm saying. Go ahead.
We're doing the awkward first date dance. Go ahead, Brad.
What I'm saying is pixels are free. And all you got to do is put that page up there, and it's there. It's not costing you a thing, but it's a crucial part of running a webcomic. And if it turns off people who are dyed-in-the-wool webcomic readers, that's okay. That's a deficit you're going to easily be able to make up. But when it snares you a few new readers, it's well worth the investment of time to put it together.
That's why I don't understand why you shouldn't. I mean, let's say a cast page doesn't really do a whole lot for you. Why not have it anyway? Nobody's going to go, oh, cast page.
Exactly.
Yes. And that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's only because Scott's been reading and doing and living and breathing this world for 10 years that he's sick of it. The average reader and the average person that's either new or old to webcomics doesn't have that same strong vitriol for it.
But if you're saying, Scott, that we should rethink them, then yeah.
Then I would agree with that. Yes.
I can understand why you don't want to read the, like, he's the grown up and he's always got this and he's interested. He loves lasagna and he always wears ties.
And I'll go a step further, Scott, and if you're saying specifically that we should rework Starslip's cast page, then I'm totally in agreement. And if you're further saying that we should redo Starslip's characters itself, then yes, I think we're all on board with that.
I think it's overdue.
Chris, please quit Starslip.
Chris, this is our way. We are not recording this, by the way. This was a big put on. What are you guys saying?
Your parents are here. Come on out, Mr.
Come on out.
Mom, Dad.
Now I'm going to give your mother an accent that she clearly doesn't have. Chris, please stop with this rip. No more star sleep.
You're tearing the family apart.
Your dad comes in. Mama, it's ridiculous,
like she's from the old country.
Oh, Mama,
Chris,
why are you doing it?
This comic strip business is nothing but jibber jabber.
His monocle pops off.
Yeah.
I demand you stop this comic strip forthwith.
And then it's 10 minutes of him clearing his throat.
Listen to your mother. Who apparently is from Asia.
Christopher, not only are you stopping doing this ridiculous webcomic business, but you're going to join the Queen's Army and go off to this Boer War. We're going to beat those Boers within 5 years.
Very good.
Yeah. Very good. Chip, chip and all that.
I shall spend the next 15 minutes plucking bits of chicken from
my
beard.
And then Chris goes, Father, I will stop drawing my comic, but I have one request before I stop. Read this one last story. And he goes, well, I don't see how it would. Boink! That's his monocle popping out. And then he just goes.
And the best part is he's like, you perfectly encapsulated my feelings about hamburger.
And then the other thing I was going to say was.
And Chris says, yeah, that's my last strip.
Right.
Sadly, I could go no further. Not here.
Father,
not now.
Father, I was gone anyway. Off I go to South Africa. Goodbye. Goodbye.
I wish he'd start doing a strip again.
The dad looked at the strip and the monocle went, and his lip went, Christopher, you do have a talent. And this strip has proven that to me. Go, my son. Draw cartoons. And then it cuts to the strip and it says, I have pictures of you sleeping with the neighbor.
That is the strip. Oh, I thought the strip was like, I hate Mondays too. I know how he feels.
That cat speaks what we all know to be true.
That Heathcliff is the Lamb of God. All right, we've just fallen down a major rat hole. Dave,
yes.
How many books did you get sketched in?
I did about 250 while we were talking.
I did 10.
Nice. I am faster.
You are, apparently.
I wasn't sketching in these. I was just signing these. I wasn't sketching in them.
Oh.
Wiggly.
Hey, Scott. What do you use again to back up your hard drive on your Mac? I've been meaning to ask you this for weeks.
Super duper.
It is great, by the way. I bought it, and it's awesome.
Now, is that external software?
It's software.
Now, what hardware do you use?
I bought myself one of several backup drives. This one is a SimpleTech. It was referred to me by Andy Inokto over at the Chicago Sun-Times, who was a fan of the strip. They are wedged shaped. They have small ones and large ones. This one's a 350 gig, I think. It's a USB hard drive. You plug it in, and you tell Super Duper to essentially clone your hard drive. It does exclude some Mac system files you don't need. But the best part about it, Brad, is it's bootable.
Oh, cool.
So if your hard drive does crash or your production machine is in the shop like mine was, you could plug it into your laptop and boot off of it, and it would be your other machine. It does clone.
And that's That's Simple Tech, the regular spelling, S-I-M-P-L-E.
S-I-M-P-L-E-T-E-C-H, Simple Tech, is the portable hard drive I use. Also, Western Digital makes some pocket hard drives for like 160 gigs that are fantastic.
I like Western Digital.
Yeah.
They're good.
But Super Duper, I think, is like $39 for the Pro. But get it, because it lets you do smart updates after that, where it'll just... it won't re-update your whole hard drive. It'll just look and see what changed and then make it match.
Cool. Well, that's my official Christmas list this year.
That's it.
Also, Super Leopard's Dupins. Time Machine is pretty nice and built in. All right, we're done recording. We should really stop recording now. It's been an hour six. We're giving everybody a bang for their buck.
Holy
delicious.
Cats.
All right, Webcomics Weekly. Everybody say goodbye.
Bye. Hollow.
Question, comment, or tip? Call the Webcomics Weekly hotline at 214-717-5487. We might play your message on the show.